Well, it's good to be together this last Sunday of 2023. That's hard to believe that we got there already, but we did. So this morning, the message is found in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11 says this: "The Lord shall guide thee continually." We want to think about that phrase this morning. We'll look in this chapter to pull thoughts out of it. But first, let's turn in our life songs to number 225. The song in here, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Let's look at it. 225 in the life songs, first of all. Want to take note of what the author of this hymn was thinking about when he penned these words. Pilgrim through this barren land. Notice that. How many pilgrims do we have here this morning? Look at that. We're pilgrims through this barren land. But if you go back into Exodus, I think that's where he was pulling the thoughts from. He says, "We're weak, you're mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand." Then bread of heaven. What was the bread of heaven in the Old Testament? Manna came down from heaven to feed the people. So he's talking about that. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Looking at the second verse, open now the crystal fountain. What's he talking, thinking about here in the Old Testament? The story of the Old Testament. Any ideas? Struck the rock and water came out. I think that's what he's thinking about there. Water came out to feed him. The fiery cloudy pillar, what's that? Led the children of Israel through the land. Remember, the cloud was daytime, the fiery pillar at night. And something else to think about. When they were at the, they came to the Red Sea, and the sea was in front of them. And what did they see coming behind them? Remember that story? The Egyptians. And what did that fiery cloudy pillar do at that point? Remember that? It moved behind them. It did. And we'll find out here in Isaiah 58, it's mentioned. There's a word in here that thinks about and refers to that moving behind them. Now look at the next one. When I tread the virgin Jordan, they came to Jordan, didn't they? On their trip in there. And talks about Canaan here being a picture of heaven. But I think Canaan is probably more this life here on earth because there was problems in Canaan. But that's what's thinking about here. But let's sing the song together and think of that as we sing it about the Israelites' experience in the Old Testament as they travel. I think that's what this song is referring to. Let's sing it together. Guide me,
O Lord, have mercy.
over the 2023, can you think of times that God, you could picture God leading you? Or did you have to make all the decisions yourself and just go without God going with you? Did God lead you all the way, or didn't he? Just think about that in your mind. Has he led you all the way? As you think about the privilege of gathering here for worship this morning, is that a privilege or not? Do you look forward to coming to church? I just read a book out of the library about, it was the Hutterites. Jacob Hutter, okay? His wife, there's a book out in the library about her journey and the experiences they went through back there in the early Anabaptist days and the terrible treatment that they got. They were both martyred for their faith, him and her, and other people as well over that time. Think about the freedom that we enjoy. Is it worth anything to us? Can we say, yes, God is the one that gave us this freedom. He's the one that is leading us. He's the one that is guiding in our lives. We recognize that. So the freedom to gather together. Another question. Have you grown spiritually over the past year? Can you tell a difference in your life now as you think back over what was it last year when the year started? Have you grown physically, spiritually? I know a lot of us have grown physically too, the little ones especially, but some of us older ones, it grows out in the middle too. But have you grown spiritually? That's the challenge. And I think of the verse in 2 John where the Apostle John says this, as he was writing, he says, I wish that that your health could be as your spiritual health is. That's put in my own words. That you could grow in your health as good as you do in your spirit. Now, how would we look physically if it was based on our spiritual growth? How would we look physically? Would it be little skinny things? Or would it be well fleshed out and taken care of? Think about that. How have I grown spiritually? As I think about over the past year too, there's two people of our congregation that were called home in the past year. One back in March was Karina, and one here in November was Mary Jane. So think about that. We're not here. We don't know what will happen this year, do we? Who of us might be called home in 2024? We don't know that. And so it seems that years bring change. And we identify change by years. What happened this year? What happened that year? And so there was two in 2022 and two in 2023. Verna Hess and Harold Chubb were 22. And then Karina and Mary Jean in 23. Who will be in 24? I don't know. Or think about this. Maybe Jesus will return in 24. Do you ever think about that possibility? Are you ready for that time for Jesus to come back in 2024? And I think that would be wonderful that would happen. So as we trust God and walk in obedience to him, he will guide us as we think about that. And so I think this is a description of our life here. Look at chapter 58 of Isaiah. It says the heading of my chapter here, a description of true religion. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So the Isaiah was saying here, God was saying to him, cry aloud, show the people their problems. Look at the next word, yet. That throws a little different light on it. Yet, they seek me daily. That sounds good, doesn't it? They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That all sounds very good, doesn't it? But look at the next verse. Wherefore, they say, have we fasted, and thou seest not, Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labor or laborers. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Now, this is the kind of fast that God calls for, verse 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head in bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this a fast that I have chosen? Look what he's choosing now here. To loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. Remember I mentioned about that cloud going from in front to back here. The word rear ward, that means a rear guard. That cloud went from before them to lead them, to back behind them to keep them safe from the Egyptians. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water fails not. And they that shall be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's think about this a bit now. I think verses 1 through 5 is a picture of wrong motives or empty religion. There's no value there. Look what he says, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice. So make it loud and clear. Let the people know where the problem is, he's saying. God has a message for the people. Show my people their transgressions, he says, their sins. And then verse 2, he said, yet they're saying, yeah, we're worshiping God. We're coming before him. We're fasting before him. We're doing all these good things before him. That's what verse 2 is. We're just doing everything before him. But it has become just a ritual, a certain thing to do every so often. They had their fast days when they're supposed to fast and so on. It's just a certain thing. It's time to do it now. That's about as far as it went. And so it was religion that lacked. It was not what God was looking for at all. And I was thinking about this as we think about some stories in the Bible. In Matthew 6, 16 to 18, Jesus has some things to say about fasting. Matthew 6, 16 to 18, Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So they were doing it to be seen of men, Jesus said. He said, don't do that. Your fast should be between you and the Father and God alone, in your closet, so to speak, away so people don't see what you're doing. So don't be that way. Another account it gives us of the Pharisees and the publican. Remember the Pharisee and the publican account? You find this account in, I have it written down here, in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Luke 18, Jesus said, they went up to the temple and prayed. Let's just go there and look at it. Luke 18, he said that Jesus spake this parable in a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I think that we're talking about in the Sunday school class something about this morning, weren't we? And we looked down on other people, and the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans and so on. And here he says, this Pharisee, he said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now listen to the Pharisee here. The Pharisee stood and prayed, how? With himself. In other words, his prayer wasn't leaving him. It wasn't going out of that room. It wasn't going higher. He said, wasn't going higher in the ceiling. He prayed with himself. God, I thank thee. I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican standing here. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes toward heaven, but smote himself in his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So Jesus said, the Pharisee's prayer didn't get too far. It didn't get out of the room at all. It did not reach God's ears. But the publican that simply said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, God heard that prayer. So God didn't recognize the Pharisee's prayer. Their fasting had become a ritual. They did certain things, certain times in a year, to look religious, but lacked the real purpose of fasting. There's another story back in Jonah. When Jonah went to Nineveh, remember that story? Jonah tried to flee from God and run away, and he went to Tarshish and got on a boat and left, but God stopped him. He sent a storm, and then he sent a whale to swallow Jonah. And when after the whale spit Jonah out in dry land, Jonah was ready to go and do God's bidding. And Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites. What did the Ninevites do when Jonah preached to them? Remember that account? It says they repented. And the king of Nineveh said, everyone, man, beast, everything in Nineveh, put on sackcloth and fast. Perhaps God will have mercy on us. God may have mercy on us and save us. And it says they all did. How did Jonah feel about that? Remember that account? He said, God, isn't this what I told you you would do? You're not going to bring judgment on these people. These were the enemies of Israel, and he wanted them destroyed. That's what he wanted done. They were the enemies. He said, God, I told you you would do that. You're sparing these people. And God said, there's a lot, I forget how many people it was, in this city that do not know their left hand from their right hand yet. They're that young. And you think I want to destroy all them? Jonah had a wrong attitude there. The people repented. They put on sackcloth and fasted. But Jonah was not very happy about it. So God recognizes a true fast. He recognized the Ninevites' fast there. He didn't recognize the Pharisees' fast, but he did the Ninevites'. And so let's be the kind of people that are sincere in our approach to God. That we're sincere with God, that we when we gather for worship, we really want to worship him. It's just not a thing to do Sunday morning. But we're gathering to worship God. We're gathering, God is guiding us, and we're going to follow God in this year of 2024. So true religion that is pictured here in verses 6 and 7, he said, it's to loose the bands of the wickedness. It's to remove the heavy burdens of, think of slavery, the chains of injustice, first of all. It's to let the oppressed go free. It's to break the bonds of wickedness, the social oppression that is there. It's to feed the hungry. It's to take care of the poor. It's to clothe the naked. It's to provide for your own. A lot of things that the Bible tells us that is what God is looking for. You go back to Matthew 25 and verses 35 and 36, and Jesus said there to the ones that were gathered there in front of him, these are the things that you did, and this is what God is looking for. And then he said to the other ones, he said, you didn't do it. So that's why God is destroying you. Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36 says this, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So the righteous said, Lord, when did we do that? Jesus said, as much as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And they looked at the other ones and said, you didn't do these things. And so Jesus is saying there, this is what I'm asking for, calling for. This kind, show your love to other people. Let God guide you this year and be the kind of people that God can use in the year ahead. So God accepts true Christianity. Look at verses 8 through 12 here. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. How many like to see the morning light? We all do, don't we? And it's interesting because now when you get up at the clock, when we get up now in the morning, it's dark. After a while, we get up, it'll be light again because, you know, that time keeps changing the day. So, but think about that. We like to see the light breaking forth in the morning. He says, and your health is going to spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord is going to be your guard. What he's saying here. He's going to guide you, but he's also going to guard you in the back. He's going to protect you. God is going to do that for you in verse 8. And he says, when you call, how's God going to answer when we call? Here I am. Isn't that exciting? When we call to God, God will say, here I am. I'm here. Speak. I'm here. He said, if you take away from the midst of the yoke of putting forth of the finger, that's thinking of accusing someone. You point the finger and say to someone, you're at fault. This is your fault that this happened. And people do that sometimes. He said, putting forth the finger and speaking vanity, vain things. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. So when it's midnight, it's going to be like noonday when the sun is shining. Think of the difference there. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's the promise here. The Lord is going to guide you continually, he says, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones, or strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water that waters fail not. I just thought about that here. We were talking about water in the Sunday school lesson, weren't we? Where again this morning? And here's a watered garden. No, when the garden dries up, it don't do much. I remember back in early spring this year, we had some dry weather. And the peas and stuff in the garden just weren't growing that much. It was seemed to stand still. And so I decided I'm going to irrigate this garden. And so I did. I got out and hooked a hose up and ran it for, I think I ran it for about 2 hours that time. And guess what happened? the water quit coming. Oh no, I didn't expect that to happen. And so I unhooked it from it and let it sit for a while. The water came back again. I was glad to see that, but I didn't do any more irrigation. Thinking that's enough of that. We'll let the rain come and do the irrigating. But it's going to be like a water garden. We like our water gardens. We like the spring of water, whose waters fail not. It's always there. And down here in the farm, I remember we had a spring. That spring is still down back here in the woods, Muddy Run Project. We had spring. The spring house is still there, and the water's still flowing out of that spring. It never failed. When we lived there, all our water came out of that spring. We had a pump down in there. All the water came out of that spring. It never failed. The spring always flowed. And that's what he's talking about here. Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's what we like. And they shall be of these that shall build the old waste places. How to think about the Nehemiah here. When he came there and the walls were broken down, remember, to Jerusalem? Nehemiah came back to the town there. The walls were broke down. Everything was wasted. The buildings were broken down. And he built those up again. But he said, look here, they shall be of thee like to build the old waste places. And it tells us in that account there that the stones had a lot of dirt on them and stuff. It was just a bunch of rubble. And they had to sort the stones out of the rubble in order to build that wall up again. But here he said, they shall be raised up the foundations of many generations and thou shalt be called to restore the breach, to restore the path to dwell in. I have that written down here in the Amplified. It says, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of buildings that have been laid waste for many generations. You shall be called to repair the breach, to restore of the streets to dwell in. So think about that. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? We want to be restored. We want to, in 2024, that God would lead us in that way. That his word would go forth and we would be restored. And we would be, the breaches would be closed up. And we would be, have water, the living water flowing out of us. So think about it. What kind of spiritual restoration do we need? I had to think, how does the next generation view my life? Do you ever think about that? How will the next generation view my life? When I'm no longer here, what will they remember about me? That's something that challenges me sometimes to think about. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, what do they see in me? How do they view my life? Well, then the last two verses that we read here has to do with the Sabbath. Now, we don't gather on the Sabbath. We gather on the Lord's Day because that's when our Lord came back to life again. So we gather on the Lord's Day in remembrance of that. And pretty much throughout the New Testament, they did. You'll find different places where they run. John says in Revelation, he was on the Spirit in the Lord's Day when God spoke to him in that revelation. But look at verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the herds of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What do people see in us? How do we view the Lord's Day? Is it a special day for us? There's a lot of people saw us driving to church this morning. You realize that? The farther we drove to church, the more people saw us. Now, we don't have far to drive, so there don't a whole lot of people see us coming here. But what do people know about your life? Do they see it as something important to you that when the Lord's Day comes around, you're going to be in church? You're going to be worshiping God. as we gather together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the way you guide in our lives. Thank you for your guidance in 2023. We have sensed your guiding us. And now, Lord, as we come into 2024, I just pray that you'll be with us and guide us and help us, Lord, to seek to honor you in everything, to walk with you, and to be all that you want us to be in our lives here on the earth. So continue to guide us, help us to live our lives for you, and we thank you for your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Austin, you have a song for us?
Number 258.
Thank you, Austin. What a commitment we made. I'll go with him all the way. Let's walk with Jesus this week. Let's stand, be dismissed. And now, brethren, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them, which are sanctified through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Depart in peace.